I was born in Milwaukee, and when I was about 8, my mom moved my sister and I to the suburbs around the Hartford area. When I look at this picture of myself, I see a happy little girl that had all of the normal things that children had, normal birthday parties with lots of friends and people all around and everything happy and cheery. I think, yeah, to the outside world, we looked like a normal American family.
I always felt that living in the suburbs was, if you lived in the suburbs, you lived a lifetime movie, perfect life type of thing. Little did I know that I actually threw my daughter right into the fire.
I met a guy my junior year of high school, and I thought he was it. Like, I thought he was super cool and was going to be my knight in shining armor. And little did I know he was into drugs. He was into the drug scene. But I persisted anyways, and I stayed in it. And sure enough, it wasn't long before I started doing those very drugs with him.
My sister started dating this boy, and she was crazy about him. And for the first time, she started to lie. And it were just very small things about, you know, where she was and who she was with. And it was like, well, that's not typical of her. Why would she be doing that? And so that kind of really stood out to us. And it was just very simple things.
I had met my trafficker, my drug dealer, through another female. She wanted to be my friend. She wanted to help me. And at the time, I really needed somebody. I needed a shoulder to lean on. And she was that. Little did I know, she had been watching me for months.
They were getting to know her. They were, you know, finding out information about her family, her friends, what she liked to do, what her insecurities were. They were her people for 2 years.
And my drug dealer kept saying, come stay with me. I'm gonna make your life better. He sold me the American dream, and I bought it. I was in need of somebody saving me. I thought I needed saving. So by the time I got to his house, had him pick me up, he took my identification and social security card. He had everything. You know, he promised me, you know, just little things like going shopping to get a new wardrobe or, you know, a car or my tickets paid off. You know, things girls around my age needed.
They saw her vulnerabilities, and they also gathered information to use against her.
I didn't have a lot of personal items, but I always had pictures of my nephews. So when somebody holds a loaded gun to your head and you say, you do what I'm telling you to do or I'm gonna kill your loved ones, you do it. So that's how it happened. He had the phone, so he would take the calls. You know, a lot of this was done through text message. A lot was done through apps, through various sites, and through a touch of a button on his phone, he sold me to the highest bidder. More often than not, it was men on their way to work with their families at home, or men on Sundays, you know, and they drop their wife and kids off at church. It is men you would never think about. Your CEOs, your businessmen, your soccer dads, cops, politicians, priests, you name it, I've probably come across it, and if I haven't, I know somebody that has.
When Em disappeared, it was actually on my birthday. She had called me to wish me a happy birthday, and then she told me that she had gotten a job to be a nanny in St. Louis, and she was going down there, and the whole thing just didn't set right with me. So I told her how I felt, and then we hung up, and then a few minutes later, a gentleman called and kind of read me the riot act and told me I was never gonna see my daughter again, and then I lost it, and I just felt like the life was sucked right out of me. I felt so helpless.
So I spent about 7 hours at the police department, and I sat down with a few detectives there who enlightened me to this whole other world that I was completely naive about. There's this website called backpages.com where the police officer told me you can order a woman faster than you can order a pizza. You know, I kind of gave him a description, and it took a few hours, you know, of them searching and me searching, and we found an ad for my sister for sale. They had dyed her hair red, and there was a number on there. And so from there, we Google searched that number and found that she was listed on about 20 other websites for sale.
I had never even heard of Backpages, and here these women are being posted for sale, and there's the phone number, and that's the same number that's on my telephone from the caller ID. And I just like, oh my God, like, who does this?
But I put up I think it was maybe the same night, you know, I put on Facebook, like, my sister is missing. Like, I need your help. I have some really, really amazing friends, who, tweeted it out.
After a certain point, I had realized that they were looking for me because there were missing persons posters up and a Facebook page, but I was hiding in plain sight, and so many victims today are. We are hiding in plain sight. There were multiple times that I knew I wanted to get out of the life, that I needed to get out of the life, but I didn't know how, and I didn't want to be dope sick, and I didn't want to go to jail. I was scared. I had went into a store and stole a bunch of hygiene products, and it was almost like I did it intentionally to get caught. The female officer came, and I turned around and put my hands behind my back and said, I'm ready. You can take me. And she's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm making your job easier. Because I knew I was getting arrested. And I got into the car, the cop car, and there was a song playing with the words, I know you'll be safe and sound. I took a deep breath, and I knew, as much as I didn't know I was a victim, I knew from that point forward everything was going to be okay. There is not a single county in our entire state or our nation that has not been affected by sex trafficking. Sex trafficking does not discriminate. It does not look for where you have come from, how you grew up. There are no boundaries. I am proud to be able to say that I have trained over 2,500 professionals in our community throughout our state.
These are people who are going into homes that need to know what to look for. You know, multiple people living in a situation, not enough beds, too many people, you know, women who are bruised.
I want people to be able to talk about it openly. I want people to not be judged who have been through it. And I want parents to know that it can and will affect your family if you do not become educated. And if I can change one person's life, one person's perspective, that means I did my job. My name is Emmy, and I am a sex trafficking survivor. And I am the founder of Lacey Soap Project.